Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
I'm John Batchelor with my colleagues Bill Raju of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies and Hussein Haqqani of the Hudson Institute. Bill, the question raised now by Moscow, it's getting out of hand. But first, Mr. Putin suggests that the shooters, the alleged shooters, now apprehended and on view in a Moscow court, were heading for Ukraine, and that Ukraine had a hand in this was the implication. Now we have Reuters reporting that bots out of Moscow are blaming MI6 in some fashion I can't possibly connect. However, I mention all of this because ISIS-K is a shadowy organization that hasn't heretofore been outside of its region, to my knowledge. And when it first started, it seemed disaffected from Al-Qaeda or the Taliban. ISIS-K, does it maintain training camps in Afghanistan the way Al-Qaeda does? Does it have shadow characters living in Kabul the way Al-Qaeda does, Bill?
Well, the Islamic State certainly is operating in Afghanistan. It's estimated to have several thousand fighters there. However, it's not doing so with the approval of the Taliban. The Islamic State and the Taliban, and by default, Al-Qaeda and its allies, are enemies of the Islamic State because the Taliban and Al-Qaeda, they won't swear allegiance to the emir or the leader of the Islamic State. They won't play, you know, they won't get on board with the Islamic State's program. The Taliban wants primacy of the jihad in Afghanistan. So this is they are enemies and not allies. Now, some will make the argument, well, this is great. We should support the Taliban because it opposes the Islamic State. Well, they can both be bad. Al-Qaeda, as you mentioned, operating training camps in 10 provinces, according to the United Nations, as well as a weapons depot, safe houses, a media operations center, madrasa. That's all happening, I won't say in the open, but with the approval of the Taliban. The Islamic State has to be very careful how it operates within Afghanistan, because once it raises its head, the Taliban and its allies will strike at it.
And Bill, I want to press the point here about at the Islamic State. During the evacuation, the exit in 2021, Asirajan Haqqani, the senior fellow of the Haqqani Network, who is an integral member of the Taliban government, he was said to maintain connections with ISIS-K, and I believe the allegation always was the suicide bomber who struck the Marines and others, several hundred people, in that tragic evacuation, was ISIS-K recruited out of Bagram, is my memory. This is from Jerry Dunleavy's book about Kabul. Is that thinking still substantial, that ISIS-K can be used by the Haqqani network, can be used by the Taliban?
Some elements of it is that is certainly possible and quite likely. Remember, when Bagram was overrun by the Taliban opened the prisons. The Taliban knew that there were hundreds of Islamic State fighters within that prison and yet let them out. The relationship is complicated. The entirety of the Islamic State Khorasan province isn't a proxy of the Haqqanis or the Taliban, but they can be used at times. As far as the airport, the attack at the airport goes, what people don't understand is that a Haqqani unit, which of course is Taliban, unit known as Bajri 313, was in charge of security at the perimeter of the airport where, they were the guards that the Taliban that were, quote, our partners, according to General McKenzie. Bajri 313 is a special forces unit of the Taliban, which includes suicide bombers. If they understood what suicide bombers looked like, they very likely knew who the Islamic State fighters were. It's very, I put a lot of credence in the fact that that Bajri 313, if it didn't participate in this attack, it turned a blind eye and was aware of what's going on. And that's sort of that's what I think happens here with the relationship between the Taliban and the Islamic State at times. It gives the Taliban, in that instance at the airport, plausible deniability, a final blow to the United States as it, you know, a humiliating blow as it exits the country in its the end of its 20-year presence in Afghanistan.
Mr. Ambassador, the alleged Tajikistan shooters, alleged ISIS-K, does that have a connection to the way Pakistan is struggling to deal with the Taliban? Sometimes it's regarded as a neighbor, sometimes it's regarded as sponsor of the Taliban of Pakistan. Does this incident change the approach that Pakistan's government has been taking?
Well, it makes it very clear that ISIS-K is operating in the region, and the return of the Taliban to power has facilitated it. ISIS-K has also struck inside Pakistan. It's going to strike in the neighborhood. If it can strike Moscow, it can certainly strike in the immediate vicinity of Afghanistan. So basically, it is a threat, and this threat has become worse after the Taliban took power in Afghanistan.
And Russia, Moscow, Moscow's wounded, very badly wounded. Does Moscow have good relations with Islamabad? I know Beijing does. How about Moscow?
I think they have a functional relationship. It's not as good as Beijing, but they do have a relationship. But very frankly, if there is a Pakistan connection, the Russians are going to ask Pakistanis, and the Pakistanis will probably in this particular moment help them. But the bigger problem still remains that the Afghanistan-Pakistan area remains a haven for various jihadi groups that have been operating in this region for a very, very long time.
And so what we have here, Tajikistan is north of Afghanistan, is that the whole region is now lit up with suspicion that if this attack can happen, it can happen anywhere. Is that a fair summary of these last hours?
That is a fair summary, and I'm sure Bill will agree with me on that.
Bill, I come to you.
Absolutely agree.
Bill, I come to you also because of these allegations out of Moscow that MI6 did it, that Ukraine did it. That seems expedient on their part. But ISIS-K, are they recruiting on this, Bill? This is the biggest strike I can remember since the withdrawal from Afghanistan. I can't remember anything this large, this showy. It looks like a major, major operation that would have cost them a lot of planning.
Well, I would say the biggest strike since the suicide attack on Qasem Soleimani, the former head of the IRGC in Iran, at his gravesite a couple of months ago. Scores were killed in that attack. Yeah, they're absolutely recruiting on this. These type of attacks are great to reach out to the jihadists or the would-be jihadists who see value in this, who see this as an act of strength. As far as the Kremlin or the claims from Moscow, look, I haven't seen the MI6 claims. I'm pretty sure that's not coming from the Kremlin itself. And what they are saying about this attack is that it's too soon to say, and that the attackers were planning to flee towards Ukraine. I haven't seen any direct accusations of Ukraine being directly involved or planning and executing this attack. I have no doubt that the Kremlin, that the Putin is going to, you know, point a finger at Ukraine in some capacity, but I don't think, you know, I think some of the reporting on this is being a little bit blown out of proportion in what is being what it said and not said from Moscow.
Bill Raggio reminding us, in war, as I learned in the first iteration of the War on Terror, the first three reports are wrong, and the fog of war descends. We thank Hossein Haqqani, Senior Fellow Director for South and Central Asia at the Hudson Institute, former ambassador from Pakistan to the U.S., and Bill Raggio, the Senior Fellow for the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, Long War Journal, where keep an eye on that because the reporting is first rate and we have much to learn about this massacre in Moscow. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets.
It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
This is Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang. This is Bowen Yang from Lost Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
Hey, Bowen. It's gift season.
Ugh, stressing me out. Why are the people I love so hard to shop for?
Probably because they only make boring gift guides that are totally uninspired. Except for the guide we made.
In partnership with Marshalls, where premium gifts meet incredible value.
It's giving gifts! With categories like best gifts for the mom whose idea of a sensible walking shoe is a stiletto.
Or best gifts for me that were so thoughtful I really shouldn't have.
Check out the guide on Marshalls.com.
And gift the good stuff at Marshalls.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.